Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and of course, this is Professor Greg Stevens. And we're talking about the command authority of a follower of Jesus Christ. The authority of the believer. Authority to use the name of Jesus as a weapon against the devil. Glory to God forevermore. As Brother Hagin used to say. And the reason why we teach and preach the word of faith at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. This is the mandate handed to me by the Father. Every available voice. And now we have students that are available voices.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Mm-hmm. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it being dead, he yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's exciting news. Mm-hmm. Up to a point. Romans chapter 14. Let him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not doubtful disputations. Now, judge him that eat, for God has received him. Who are you that judges another man's servant? Oh, who do you think you are to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he should be holed up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Verse 6, he that regards the day, regardeth it to the Lord, and he that regardeth the day, so forth and so on. And now, come on down. Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself the things which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. But the man that doubts, misgivings, an easy conscience about eating, and then eats, perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God because he is not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin, and whatever is done without a conviction of its approval of its approval by God is sinful. Whew. And I have had people ask me, well, why do you just preach on faith all the time? Hadn't we heard that? Well, evidently you didn't. Now, yeah. What you said was sinful. Mm-hmm. Because it's impossible to please him without faith. He must, here it is, he must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of him who diligently seeks him. Oh, my brother and sister, that's spiritual dynamite.
Yeah, it is.
Because when you do that and you're diligently seeking, oh my. Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the book of Romans, Paul spends those first 8 chapters describing that to people that had a covenant, no, you're sinful. You need a Savior. You need faith. Yes. The law required no faith, just obedience.
That's right.
But people who learned how to, in the time of the law, operate in their faith, God marveled at them. Jesus marveled at them. Now, then he'll throw in 3 chapters about Israel, 9, 10, and 11, that seem to not fit anywhere. No, he's letting you know whether you had a covenant or didn't have a covenant, you needed a Savior.
And look at the 15th chapter. We then that are strong...
There it is.
Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to build him up.
That's right.
Your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? The one that needs you. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan.
That's right. See, he came down, that guy got off the horse to pick that man up. Jesus came down to lift me up. And it's all here in that 15th chapter.
Yes.
Wherefore, verse 7, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us.
Amen.
To the glory of God.
He was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his hesed, mercy. As it was written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. What's he doing? He's knocking the camps apart.
And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. And laud him, all you people. Glory to God.
What he's doing, he's bringing the two families together. He's bringing the streams together.
Yes.
That's every available voice.
That's it.
And this is only done in faith. You go back to Hebrews 11, and you'll see all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, we've received it. God having provided something better for us, but they that without us should not be made perfect. You go down here, it talks about verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then you go on down to verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction. We talked about God, the covenant, and the contradiction. The contradiction in the New Testament is how can one guy redeem everybody? Well, right there. Jesus was the contradiction. The contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, which goes back to let this mind be in you. The same theme, guys, in all of these letters and all of these orders that were given to us. And I think we need to put them all together and not leave them as separate scriptures and realize that the Lord has assigned you to do this about authority right now because the earth needs to see it.
Yes.
And Jesus said, you that are heavy laden and burdened,
yes,
learn this of me. Learn this of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. Come unto me and I'll give you true rest. Come unto me and I will give you true rest. Thank you, Jesus, for true rest. And this is something that I disobeyed God way, way, way back. Start walking and don't quit. I started walking and I quit. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time. Not time to obey God. And 2004. Sunday morning after Southwest. We did the Big Ben album and so forth. And so I just took the makeup off my face and went to bed. And I got up and normally I shower at night, but this particular day I didn't. I waited till Sunday morning. There's a bench. You walk in my shower, the shower head's this way and the towel rack's over here. And so I pitched my washcloth at the bench and it went over in the corner. I did this and ruptured a disc in my back. It knocked me to the floor. I said, Oh God, I repent. I lay down on the floor. I just screamed. It hurt so bad. And I didn't get much sympathy out of him. He said, now listen, I created you to rest 52 days a year. You don't rest 52 days in 5 years. I paid the price for it. Jesus had paid, he told me what to do. But that disobedience cost me dearly, with extreme pain. Well, I repented of it, and I do rest. In order to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. But that's a tough price to pay for that.
So you didn't set out to say, well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for telling me that, but I'm going to disobey you. You didn't make a conscious decision
no,
to do it.
No, I started out
working for him.
I started out to do it, and then I started jogging a little bit. And
the cares of life and all those things got in there and work of the ministry. Yeah. And so you think you're covered with that. We use our faith, it says, to enter into that rest.
Yes.
It's going to take, for some of you to do it, it's going to take you to use your faith to say, I'm just going to do it. Lord, I'm in faith today and I'm going to rest and I'm not going to get on the computer. I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm not going to watch as the stomach turns or anything, whatever it is, you know, that you think you're going to do, but just you'll have to use your faith.
Rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's continue.
There's a peace in that. Colossians 3, if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Which are above.
Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. See, that's my authority position.
Yes.
Right there. The fact that a man is in the Godhead, seated there, backs everything I say. Now, you can't just be running around saying stuff that the atonement didn't provide for you. You can't be praying things that aren't in the Word. Can't be confessing the Word and have it trying to exercise dominion over other people. Never gave you the authority to do that. And so when they would try to get Jesus to do that, he made a comment to Peter. He goes, you know not what spirit you're of, Peter. Because Peter wanted to call down judgment. And I hear believers do that all the time when they watch Victory News, or Flashpoint, especially Victory News. They'll say, I want you to curse the Democrats, or I want you to expose Joe Biden. No, that's not my assignment. I'm so grateful to you that you've given us that directive that we're not going to do that. We're going to bless Joe Biden.
That's right.
We're going to.
You don't have any right to do that.
That's right.
That's Christian witchcraft.
Okay.
No, I forgive him.
Yes.
And I pray the Lord send laborers across his path with the word of his salvation.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said to do.
Yes.
He loves him, so I love him. I don't agree with his politics.
Amen.
But I love the man. Because God does.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, this is the place where people say, well, I just don't understand tithing. I don't know. Well, let me help you with that. Hebrews chapter 7,
okay.
Verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed he liveth. Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loin of his father, even Melchizedek met him. And therefore perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, for under this the people received the law. And for the need was there another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there is of a necessity to change also of the law. For if he from those things spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar, it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, the tribe of Moses, spake nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Whew. Oh, glory to God. When I tithe, oh, I get so excited. I think, Lord God, I'm a joyous tither. Oh, glory be to God. But there, he receives my tithe, and he worships the Father with my tithe.
Yeah.
My dad taught me to tithe. He had his business account. He had his personal account. And he had his tithe account. And I could just barely see up over that. I said, Daddy, why do you do that? He said, that belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that belongs to God. It is not mine. Not mine. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So when you look at that, there's a change in the priesthood. Is what the author is describing in the book of Hebrews.
Now, talk about the priesthood.
Well, the priesthood,
Greg,
was only Levitical.
Too many people that don't have any idea of what the priesthood meant there and then.
Okay, so the only example we had was Melchizedek prior to Moses. Now they're a nation coming out of bondage for 430 years in Egypt. And so all they've known for generations is Egyptian priest sacrificing to Ra and all the other gods of Egypt. And then when the plagues came, they attacked the deities of Egypt. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob showed himself greater than all of those deities. That's what all those plagues were.
Yeah.
Each one of them represented one of their gods. So all they knew was this. This is why we have the book of Leviticus, because the book of Leviticus gives instructions of how the priest should handle themselves to enter into God's presence. Because when they came to the mountain, they were afraid, remember? And so they made a golden calf. That was what was in their spirit. That's all they knew in their mind. And so he sets up a Levitical priesthood. It'll come through that tribe, through Aaron. And we read that right there. So only the priest, I could only bring my tithe or offering, or largely agricultural in that time. You'd bring your grain, your first fruits, you'd bring that to the priesthood. They had no inheritance. The tribe of Levi got no inheritance in the land. They lived throughout all the land, and so that was their substance. That's how some people said, well, you don't give to a preacher. Well, you did in the book of Levi. With Levites, you did, because they didn't have an inheritance. Everything they had came from that tithe. Now, so now we have a new priesthood here after the order of Melchizedek. And it even says right there, the priesthood being changed, and that Moses, nothing is said of Judah.
Well, now, Melchizedek was a title.
King of Righteousness,
yes,
of Salem, which became Jerusalem. And he brought bread and the grapes, wine, to Abraham. Or Abram, and said, blessed be Abram, Most High God. And he offered him communion. It's our communion, bread, the bread and the wine. It's what he gave to him. And so now we have a king of righteousness after this order. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. So therefore, if Jesus is Judah, he's not a Levitical priest. So if there's a change in priesthood, there has to be a change in the priest. If there's a change in the law, there has to be a change in the priesthood.
After the order
of Melchizedek, king of righteousness,
yes,
from Salem. So you see this, that there was nothing said of Judah, verse 14, where it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the Moses said nothing concerning the priesthood. Well, David is of Judah, and David went in and ate the showbread. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And was in the presence, and he's of Judah. He's not Levite. What he did should have got him killed. But he didn't, because he knew how to host the Holy Spirit. Yes. Jew and Gentile alike could go to the tabernacle of David. And David did priesthood function from the wrong tribe, which opens the door now for this son of David to operate as a priest.
Now, blind Bartimaeus, not blind anymore.
Nope.
Son of David.
Have.
They said, what? They had lost sight
of that, yeah.
Of that. Didn't mean anything to him. Just be quiet. So he just shouted, Son of David! Son of David, do hesed for me.
Jesus had to stop.
He had to. He had to.
He'd have denied who he was.
He had to stop and call for him. Bring him to me. And Bartimaeus dropped his beggar's coat.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
But he had to say it. What can I do for you, sir, that I might receive my sight? Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. That act of faith, when he dropped that beggar's coat, that did it. And he followed him in the way. And we're out of time.
Oh. We're just getting started. We're just getting started.
Well, I didn't arrange this.
I know. Tomorrow.
Well, I really did. Okay, here we go. Praise God. These are wonderful truths.
Yes.
And you have to read it in the eye of faith, and we're out. Yes. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Whether you've remained constant and confident in the face of what is happening in the world in your life, or have felt the pressure of fear try to take control of your thoughts and conversations, understanding and emphasizing the authority we have through the name of Jesus and how to use his name changes everything. In the Power of the Name package, Kenneth Copeland teaches on the foundational scriptures and revelation that taught him to use the name of Jesus since the beginning of his ministry in 1967. Included is a 6-message audio series titled Jesus, the Name Above Every Name, with a companion study guide of topical overviews, outlines, questions, and space to take notes as you listen to the teachings. As part of the family of God, you have the right to use the name of Jesus and all the power that is behind it to change habits, mindset, and the physical world around you. With the power of God released in your life through speaking the name of Jesus, your life will be transformed. There is a name that is above every other name. Request your free copy of the Power of the Name of Jesus package, an MP3 series with study guide from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. As a member of the family of God, you have the right and authority to use that name and walk out your victory. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Something life-giving on KCM.org, your study center for victory. View the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts on demand and study along with the daily broadcast notes, or download the audio podcasts to listen on the go. Watch prior KCM events for hours with truth going in your eyes and ears wherever you are. Get real help for real life problems. Follow our guide to believe, speak, pray, learn, and apply your way to results from your couch, desk, or kitchen table. Stay focused on truth by reading the devotional From Faith to Faith every day. Read interactive BVOV magazines and click to unlock more content in each issue. Get a faith boost from testimonies of real-life success from people just like you. Find information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Read archives of Kenneth Copeland's partner letter and download free books from our bonus library. Over 50 titles available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Are you receiving the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine? KCM's been printing and sending this monthly publication free of charge to our partners since 1973. Each month is filled with powerful tools to help you grow spiritually. Request your free subscription or read it online at KCM.org. Thank you for joining us today. This is Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens, and all of the class, reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.